If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio today by Randy Engston.
Good day.
Hello. This is Doubtfire.
Hello. I don't think the wife had saw it. So we watched it like within the last month.
This is Doubtfire?
Great show.
She was right, you know, gymnast, in never TV oriented.
Oh, okay.
So like I have to like show her the childhood that she missed on the other half of things. But the classics, you know? Like, how have you not seen Mrs. Doubtfire?
Robin Williams, dude.
One of the best.
Yeah, they said he was a genius. He had
part of Mensa.
Yeah, some just wild genius. You know what's interesting, and I think you know this too. When he was on set, he would go and he would do, you know, visual cues.
Yeah.
When it was time to laugh, he would touch the
Put his hand on the podium stand.
Yeah. And then he conditioned the audience so well that he would just walk over and put his hand on the podium and they start laughing even though when there wasn't a joke. So yeah, I think he was just toying with them, you know.
He got to a point where, you know, once that audience, it was you ever seen that study where
total control,
some of that stuff like blows my mind, like just the sheepish nature of humans, you know?
And yes,
right.
Yes.
Nobody wants to be left out in that regard, right? So like when he started doing it, everyone's laughing, you're like, oh, it must be funny, and you laugh along. There was that study, I don't know who did it or what, but I saw them all sitting in chairs like an interview.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, randomly, everybody would stand and one person that wasn't part of this, you know, that was actually being studied would like look at everyone and then just stand up naturally.
Yep.
It's like,
what are you standing up for?
Exactly. Right.
Like, it's conditioned.
Conditioning. Yeah.
Weird.
So weird.
Weak people.
Yeah.
Cause wouldn't you be like, what? I saw the same thing with the there was a pile of helmets in a elevator, and everybody that got in immediately put a helmet on. And there was one guy in there just standing there the whole time. As there, every floor, somebody get in, grab a helmet, and put it on. So he just grabs a helmet, puts it on. It's the same thing.
Why are we wearing helmets?
What are we doing helmets, guys? Nobody talked. He just did it. All right, guys, quick episode. Topic today is long game versus short game. So let's define the difference. Number one, I think probably since, I don't know, let's call it 2015, everybody's been pretty dang spoiled.
Yeah,
with how easy it is to get Facebook leads through Meta, right? Like it was just so easy. So therefore, there was no other reason to do any other style of marketing. So let's just go to direct response. Let's get the lead now. Let's convert them now. Why wait? And to be honest with you, why wait? Funny story. You know our buddy Dan Henry, right?
Yeah.
You know, he holds up $200 bills. He says, both of these $100 bills are equal in value, right? Yes. Cause he's talking to another friend of ours, actually, Cody Neer. But anyway, he goes, yes. He goes, I'm going to prove to you that both of these $100 bills are not equal. And here's how I'm going to show you. I'm going to put this $100 bill underneath my shoe. And then I'm going to drive this other $100 bill out to Las Vegas and put it on top of a mountain. Which $100 bill is more valuable to you?
Ooh, good.
The one right in front of you, get it now, because it's going to take you forever to go get that other $100 bill. And so really the point of the message is it's not, you know, going for the easier, lowest hanging fruit for revenue is better than that one that's going to take you forever.
Sure.
When there's $100 bills sitting underneath your shoe.
When that's available.
Exactly. When that's not available anymore, you're kind of stuck with looking around, where else do we go? And that's kind of where this topic comes up, is because forever, all the $100 bills were sitting on the ground. You just pick them up. Hey, there's a $100 bill.
So, sometimes they were being thrown at you, it felt like, right?
It was that easy.
Yeah.
And I would totally agree to that, because there was no reason to go for the long game.
Sure.
Okay. Now times have changed. Okay. So it is way harder to get leads on Facebook. Half of the leads, you don't even know if they're real anymore.
Sure.
I mean, I had that conspiracy theory.
You talked about it in one of those episodes. Yeah.
And I'm going to put it back out there again. I believe somewhere in the next 5 years, there's going to be a class action lawsuit against Meta from a big corporation that's spent millions of dollars on ads. And they've figured out that half of these leads or more weren't really, they were bots.
Bots, yeah.
Okay. And the reason we believe as small business owners that these aren't real leads is because you will call a lead immediately after they enter their information. What are you talking about? They answer, I didn't do that. That mm-hmm. wasn't me. Who are you? Right.
And it's not just a couple. It's a lot.
It's like 80%.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, you know, same thing. They would get a text and just say, stop right on the first text. So like, really, are these real people, or what? Why would they be putting their information in there? So I believe that there's maybe some bot activity. Anyways, that's no excuse to not play the long game. And so the difference between the short game and the long game is the short game is what we just talked about. Leads now, convert them now, direct response. Here's my offer. Try my thing. Come in, come in, come in. And then the other side of it, the long term, is education. Let me provide value. Let me give you a playbook, a blueprint, a menu, a workout plan for home, a stretching guide for lower back pain. All of these things you can deliver value via ebook, cheat sheet, video series, whatever. And you're not asking for the sale today.
Correct. Yeah.
You're going to ask for the sale, because what else are you doing? What are you doing this
for? Yeah.
You're going to ask for the sale, but the sale might happen in 3 weeks. It might happen in 3 months. It may happen in 3 years. And a quick example of this is, and I keep going back to this, was back when I used to do the sales. We would run lead magnets all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One of our lead magnets was some like salsa recipe. It was Cinco de Mayo, Arizona. It's like big, you know, Hispanic culture. And everybody's, you know, like, you know, here's a cool 5 easy to make, you know, salsa recipes for Cinco de Mayo. And some guy downloaded it, never heard from him. 5 years go by. He's on our list. Oh, you know, and you could see his history, right? Yeah, he opens up, you know, every like third or fourth email, never responds. Then one day he shows up at my office for a consultation, and we get to talking. And he goes, man, I downloaded that salsa recipe ebook 5 years ago. And then, you know, at the time I had a trainer, but he moved out of state, and now I'm looking for a new place. And so I came here and he signed up.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the pure definition of long game.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, gym owners, what are you doing in your gyms to really build your list?
And that's exactly it, right? There's value in the list.
Right.
And it's difficult, right? We get that dopamine dump when we hit that direct response where you throw that ad out there and all of a sudden, boom, we got consultations booking that week. To your point, there's no reason not to do that.
Right.
But as we see that shift taking place where that activity, that pole in the water, if you may, is harder, is less, it has less return for the same effort. It's just diminishing a little bit over time. What else can you do? And if you're not doing something else, you're 100% dependent upon the success and failure of that direct response.
Yeah.
And so I truly believe, and this came from a number of calls. I've talked with Iron Circle clients, coaching clients, you know, as the direct response game gets harder, we have to do something different if we want to continue that same level of growth that we had with that success.
Right.
And this is where the long game comes into play, right? What are our other options? What else can we be doing to grow the list?
Sure. Sure. And when we say grow the list, we're talking about owning the lead. And when you've already paid for leads, okay? So when you market, however you market, you get a lead, a name, email, phone number, whatever it is. And they should be going on your CRM, into your mm-hmm. CRM. Whether or not that's Keep or High Level or ActiveCampaign or hell, MailChimp, does not matter. you own those leads. Don't not talk to them. So many gyms are afraid to email their list because they're afraid of getting that nasty gram back. Unsubscribe. Who cares? Who literally cares?
Yeah.
I mean, people unsubscribe to our stuff all the time. And it's people that are our clients, you know, it's just like, oh, I didn't realize what I was doing. Or they have an admin that does it for them, or there's a software that just automatically unsubscribes people. So, you know, who cares, right? Your job is not to prevent unsubscribes. Like, that's just not your job. Your job is to create revenue.
New revenue, yeah.
New revenue for your gym. Hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser-focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. Do you need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville. So the tactic here, guys, is create something. Call it a lead magnet. A lead magnet essentially is an ethical bribe where you're going to trade something of value to the consumer in exchange for their contact information. You exchange places. Now they have the thing. And then you continue to educate them over time. Continue. I guess the best advice I would give you guys when creating a high value piece of lead magnet content is create something that you would actually be able to sell.
Sure.
Something that you could actually charge money for.
Clients should see a win.
That too. They should get a result from every piece of content that you have, no matter if it's free or paid. If they follow the advice that's given in said content, they should get a result. Whatever, it could be a small win. Probably shouldn't be a huge win if it's free, but like, you know, some type of win gets them closer to the goal through your content, through your lead magnet, through your video series, through your blueprint, through your whatever. Report. Case study could be technically a case study. This is an interesting one. You can use a case study as a lead magnet as long as you give the how you did it or what you did, not how you did, sure. But what you did in the case study. One of the best case studies we ever did when we were doing the agency stuff is I took, I basically gave the background of the client. Here's where they were. Here's where their problems were. Here's the solution. I even drew it out. Like, here's what we did. And then here's the result.
Yep.
And people got that and they're like, wow, that's really actually pretty smart. So then they could go do it too. Or if they needed our help, how to do it, they would reach out to us.
Yep.
So same thing for your gym. Take a client or two or five, give them some background history of them, assuming your clients are willing to give that out, right? Like, you know, high blood pressure, stuff like that. Like, you have to make sure they're okay with that. Here's their lifestyle. Here's who they were. They had 2 kids. They had, you know, worked this job for 15 years, sedentary. They came in. We did this, this, and this with them. Okay. Nutrition, blood work, stretch therapy, training, whatever it is. And here's the result.
Yeah.
If this sounds like you, click the button. We'd love to see you. And that doesn't mean that that's a lead magnet case study into a soft opt-in. But don't push for the consultation right there. Follow up with emails and continue to educate. Hey, remember when we were talking about Marcy in that case study? Let me give you a snapshot of one of her days of her meals. It's a beautiful way to kind of position and start to continue to give value because, oh, if they have that information, they can kind of get a result, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so each step of the process should help that client or that lead or prospect get closer to the result.
Yeah, we talk all the time about kind of selling the next opportunity in the customer journey. You know, when a lead is generated, especially with direct response, right? When the lead is generated, we're the next thing that we're selling is them booking a consultation. We're not selling the membership from the lead generated yet.
Right.
When they book, then we sell the show. With long-term or with content-based, you know, poles in the water, the goal is building like, trust, and respect. You're trying to position yourself a little bit more as the authoritative figure, the resident expert, the 5 mile famous, right? To your point about the guy that came in 5 years later, it's a timing thing. The consumer was not in a position to be considering buying fitness, buying a new, you know, training opportunity because he had that solved. He was interested in the recipe. Right. When you sell that, though, you gave that opportunity to him. Continue to build value around continued education. It's interesting, right? It's almost like a left and a right. Somebody who responds to direct response is looking for that thing. When we're talking about our awareness triangle of in the marketplace, right? Like that person's at the peak. They're ready to buy the product today. When somebody opts in for a recipe guide, that has nothing to do with starting a new fitness program. And so I used to say, like, you haven't earned the right to ask for the sale yet because we don't even know where that person's mindset is, what they're looking for. How are we solving a problem that they haven't even expressed they have yet?
Mm-hmm.
But if you continue to provide education, continue to position yourself as the expert, you're building that like, trust, and respect factor. And then the timing when it's right for the client, again, some soft asks over time. You know, position an offer. I wouldn't lead with it, right? Hit them with a couple of weeks of content. I mean, they're in your list. If you don't have a system to automate those emails going out and things like that, you're light years behind, you know, the game. But there's no disadvantage for providing some more education before directly asking that person to buy something today. Mm-hmm. And I think that because we've been so spoiled with the way that direct response has been for years, we as marketers across whatever industry, whatever business, we only go for the throat right out of the gate. There's only so many people that are going to take that opportunity, right? But you're almost turning off the majority of people who are opting in for that thing when you're throwing an offer right, you know, following up right away with an offer. It would be, while, you know, you're going to have some opt-outs and things like that, don't guarantee most of those people opt out by just instantly hitting them with an offer. Like, give them a little bit of time, nurture them, date them, right? Stop trying to take them to bed, you know, after you just got their name. Like, there's value in providing education, providing some value-based content, and allow them to kind of self-select and bubble up. And I think what we'll see is the better segmentation gyms have in their lists. You know, if somebody's reading your blog posts and you can track that, all right, cool. After they've read 5, after they've read 7, something like that. Oh, maybe now it's right to position an offer. But it's a give, give, ask mentality, not a give, ask, give, ask, give, ask.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Or ask, ask.
Or ask. Yeah, true. And that's, again, when you're so spoiled and we put all our eggs in that basket, that's kind of all we think about doing, right?
Yeah.
So you throw out that ebook. You get somebody to jump in and all of a sudden, boom, you're hammering them with offers to join a gym. Does your ebook even have anything to do with a training protocol? Does it talk about personal training? To summarize it, it's like we have to meet the clients where they're at or the marketplace, not the clients.
And you got to have patience. And so here's, you know, so spoiled. Gyms are so spoiled. You've had so many wins so fast, so quickly without any effort, that now that it's harder, you're freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
You start to freak out. You don't know what's happening. There's no doubt in my mind the market's changed.
I agree.
The marketplace has changed. The mediums market has changed. It's different. It's visibly different. And it's not really visible in the data as far as the CPMs, something's changed in the response and the, we're still getting leads. This is what's crazy right now is like most gyms still get leads, but then they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, the lead flow was great and they would continue down the path. So something it honestly is different. And because we have so much experience with multiple gyms, our own gym, everything that's going on, it's real. It's not like make believe. It's happening to us so many and it's just not right. Something's changed.
You know, one of the things that's kind of a tell, you know, that I would agree that that's happened is because as it's gotten more difficult, or it probably directly proportional to the slowing of that action, is the increase in agencies of offers of all of these things that are targeting fitness clients, fitness, you know, gyms for gaining new clients. As that skyrockets and you see, I mean, you scroll Facebook. I mean, I'm sure yours is like every third, fourth, you know, scroll is another agency trying to sell people into here's more leads, here's more leads, yeah. Here's more leads. Well, that has repercussions when all of the gym owners are taking up those agencies and then implementing those things into the marketplace, right? Market sophistication and awareness, like we're impacting that. The saturation has taken place,
yes,
to where the marketplace is now adopted to, okay, if I raise my hand over here, I'm getting hit to be sold, or, you know, they're turned off to that style, that medium, that whatever it may be, because we've, you know, it's
burnt them out. Right? They're sophisticated, you know, they've seen it all, heard it all in the gym, the agency for gyms, the market sophistication of gyms. Now the gym owners is, if there was a six, it would be a six because it's a five. You know, just so you know, a four is ridiculous claims.
Yeah.
5 million clients in a day, right? Ridiculous claims. And then level five is tribe mentality. So like there's a whole book. We'll go into it on another show, but like at the end of the day, your market's seen it all, heard it all. And so now you got to go the other way. You got to go to the nurture. You got to go to the long-term game. You got to be patient. You can't get upset when they don't book right away. And you got to kind of stop doing the thing that used to work for you because it doesn't work anymore.
I would shift a little bit of that time, those resources, whether it be funds, whether it be your creative ability, right? Maybe not coming up with that new ad copy for today's direct response, but go figure out, you know, a couple of weeks of value-based content in that time.
Give away a video series. Give away an awesome ebook or something. Don't write it with AI, guys. Just like do it for real. Take your most common client. Let's just say they want to lose weight, whatever, and do a 3-hour video series, 3 1-hour things, and run an ad for that and give it away for free and give them everything that you would give a normal client. Coach them, tell them what to do, what to eat, teach them about macronutrients. What is protein? What is carbs? What does it do to your blood sugar? What's your glycemic index? What's basal metabolic rate? You know, help them understand what their body composition means, the scale, the weight, the body, give it all to them. Give it to your current clients too. In fact, do it for your current clients just so you feel good about giving it to your current client, but give it away to the market. And when they get so put it into like, you know, High Level has it, Kajabi has it, put it into a course where they have to watch video one and hit mark complete before the video two opens up. And then you can track their progress.
Consumption, yeah.
And then you could have a soft ask inside of that little mini course. Like, just do that, guys. Yeah. Like, is it a lot harder than putting up a lead ad to do a direct response for a free week? Of course it is. But like, that's the world we're in right now. Go do it.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Hopefully that helps you guys go do, guess what? It's harder than don't underestimate the task at hand. Like that's the one thing I'll leave you guys with this. Great mentor of ours, still in our ecosystem, guy named Todd Brown. He goes, never underestimate the task at hand because we used to lob ads out there. And what did we think? Like, look, think about all of the steps and the yeses and the coordination that had to get that person from seeing the ad to opting in, to looking at their schedule against your schedule, determining a time, changing their life around to make sure that they get to the appointment, get in the car, drive to your place, sit down, tour your gym, do the thing, listen to your pitch, take their wallet out, make a decision, sign an agreement, and do all of those things. We used to just take that for granted.
Oh God, so much. Yeah.
That's a huge task. Don't underestimate that, guys. All right. Hopefully that helps. Until next show, keep changing lives. See you on the next one. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.